come up, please?
Yes, sir.
Few hours are interesting.
Yes.
Mr. President, members of council.
Go ahead. We got you.
Okay. We reviewed a proposed agreement in executive session, and I would just like to offer a motion.
Please.
Be it moved the Sussex County Council adopt and endorse an agreement proposed between it and the town of Georgetown.
Motion, gentlemen.
So moved.
Second, please.
Can you synopsize that, Mike?
We're not saying what this refers to.
Okay, well.
You have a motion prepared.
I told him to make it simple. I mean, it's not like we just need to talk about it, gentlemen, but go ahead.
You want to explain?
Yes, I'll be happy to. This agreement pertains to the disposition of two properties that the county owns on Pine Street, 111 and 115 East Pine Street. This agreement would allow the town to take ownership of one small portion of 115 East Pine while giving the county permission to demolish all other structures on the two properties.
I second the motion.
Okay. It's moved second that we approve the contract as we discussed. Mr. Holt?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yeah.
Mr. Duke?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes, motion passed.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Jim?
I think the next matter was had to do with the potential purchase of land on Sycamore Road outside the town limits of Laurel in the county for future construction of the Laurel paramedic station. The paramedic unit in Laurel occupies rented space in the town fire hall, and the fire hall has indicated to the county that they need all of the space that is in their fire hall. They want the county to get out, and they would like the county to take steps toward obtaining its own location. The information provided by the engineering department land acquisition specialist was that there was no comparable rental property in the area that would properly accommodate the Laurel paramedic unit and be able to provide it with the square footage that it would need. So there has a private owner has offered to sell the county 9/10 of an acre on Sycamore Road. That's just off of Route 13 behind the O'Neill's Jewelry and Antiques outlet, to sell that 9/10 of an acre to the county for the sum of $81,000 for the purchase of a site for the new paramedic unit number 102. And the landowner has signed that contract, and the issue now before council is whether council will vote to authorize the president of county council to execute the contract, thereby making it a binding contract.
So moved.
Second.
Second, that we approve the contract as stated. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yeah, and the reason is because this is for a facility that ultimately, through the call share program we have with the state and the paramedic expenditures, could be greatly subsidized if we act quickly in the future with the state budget as it is. It's hard to say if any of those funds are going to be made available. I vote yes.
Mr. Dukes?
The county has looked all up and down 13 extensively, and we're very fortunate to even have somebody even put a price on land in that area. It's at a location which you can get out on Sycamore Road, the Chipman's Pond Road, 13 north and south, straight into Laurel. You can go south on or east on Sycamore Road and head back over to Route 9, and there's all kinds of ways to get out of their station there if they're in the station. So I'm glad that we finally got a permanent location, which they will move to, because the town of Laurel needs the space in the fire hall, and I'm happy to vote yes.
Mr. Rogers, to you.
Same reasons I vote yes.
My vote is yes also. I think it's a good future investment that we'll have forever. Motion passed.
The next item that was discussed was an appeal from the subdivision decision of the Planning and Zoning Commission. And subdivision appeals are discussed in executive session under the heading of pending and potential litigation. They are appealed, so that does involve the quasi-judicial function of the council to decide whether or not the commission properly decided the case, whether the decision of the commission should be, in that event, upheld, or whether it should be sent back for a further hearing before the commission, or whether council wanted to vote to reverse the commission. Those are basically their options. The it was on the LT Associates Senator subdivision, which was number 2006-52. The issue involved in the appeal was that there were several conditions. Condition K stated that there shall be at least a 50-foot buffer from all wetlands existing on any adjacent parcel. The nature of the appeal was that under the current zoning code, reference to wetlands refers to state wetlands as opposed to all wetlands, whereas all wetlands would encompass both state and federal. So the applicant who's appealing is asking council to determine that the proper condition would have been all state wetlands, because that's the claim by the applicant, is that that would be appropriate, because if you went all wetlands, you'd be expanding beyond the code and be getting into non-code factors by tying it to federal wetlands. So I suppose this would be the proper time for council to discuss that and determine whether you can make a decision.
Okay. Gentlemen, the floor is open. Everybody has the transcript, letters and all that good stuff.
Can we just insert the word state there, Mr. Griffin?
Well, within the context of what your options are, in order to do that, you would have to determine that the commission made an error in its interpretation of the applicable provisions of the code. And if you'd made that determination and your method of correcting that misreading or misapplication of the code was to insert the word state, then you would have the authority to do it.
Well, then let me ask you another question, or you aren't either one. Does the application as presented to the planning zoning, did it meet code?
Well, in the context of what the appellant is questioning, the reference to wetlands in the code, the county code is only to state wetlands. There's no reference in the county code to state to federal wetlands. And by defining it broadly as all wetlands, it opens up the whole question, because it would mean both state and federal.
Well, then it'd be my interpretation then that they misstated or did not.
The wording of the appeal statute was: council may reverse upon finding that the commission made an error in its interpretation of the applicable sections of this chapter.
Now, Jim, clarify that. Are you implying that planning and zoning, if we support this, that they made an error? Or do they have the ability to actually impose the buffer? Because when I read it here, it says a buffer from all wetlands. They referenced all, meaning there's only two types, so all. Would tell me federal and state were included in their intent. Mm-hmm. Do they have the ability to do that? If they give sufficient reasoning in our code, do we have that flexibility for our Planning and Zoning Commission to impose that? And I say we do, because a couple years back we had some points made and we came up with some lists and things because we were concerned that there wasn't any flexibility. Okay, so.
Well, that's why we have the superior design thing pending, I suppose.
Exactly. But I'm just saying, I mean, to sit here and characterize the Planning and Zoning Commission.
I'm not characterizing.
I know, but I'm just saying, if what you're saying, though, is they made an error. So if we support it, it sounds like they did make an error. Maybe they didn't make an error.
I didn't say they made an error. I said if the decision is that they did make an error, that would, what Mr. Dukes asked, would be a potential way of addressing the error.
Okay, so Mr. Dukes would make that judgment call that if it was an error.
Let me go back to your greater question. Your greater question was whether
We're judges.
Whether the commission could use code factors that are not in the code, non-code factors, as a basis for fashioning a condition. The answer to that question is yes. And that was recently answered by the Supreme Court, who made a decision earlier this month in the Ashburn case. But what it really meant was that if they, that case says that the commission should follow the code. If they go outside the code and use non-code factors, those non-code factors should be supported by some evidence in the record that there is a need to address that situation to solve a particular problem connected with the application. They can't use the non-code factors as a basis for denial. But the applicant here has said that they used a non-code factor to make it more restrictive than the code provides.
Okie dokie. Any other questions? What do we want to do, John? Up, down,
think,
or in between?
I think where we get into appeals is where they don't follow the code. If they follow the code, we would not have a problem with it. And but where they add something on at the last minute when making the stipulations is where the problem lies. And we've sent the word back to them time and time again, stick to the code, we won't have a problem, we won't have appeals.
Correct. We've heard certainly had our share of appeals in the last 6 months.
And we'll have more of them. Well, we probably maybe not, but we've had a lot of them because you've overridden the Planning and Zoning Commission every time. Now, this is a 4-1 vote, so you're saying four of the Planning and Zoning Commissioners were wrong. In other cases, it was always a majority. So
I'm just saying
they've been wrong a majority of the time in all these appeals, and I can't believe they're wrong.
I'm just saying if they stick to the code,
yep,
we won't have any problem.
But, Dale, we did give them direction that they had flexibility, and we gave them a list of things that they could look to provide that flexibility.
Okay.
And they've done
okay.
That. They've done that.
Okay.
How do you want to make? Anybody got a motion? You make one.
Let's get it off center. Where we're doing.
Well, is it easier to say we deny the appeal or to say change section K?
You don't remember anything.
Or the worst date.
You don't remember anything.
Okay, then I'll make a motion that in section K, that we insert the word state.
Prior to the word wetland.
Is there any other references in there where they're referring to that, Mr. Lang? Do you know? Is that the only place?
I believe that's the only place.
Well, why don't I say, or any other place in there where it might say wetlands, we would insert the word state. I've not seen any because I've read the thing through, but.
Well, I think that's the only one.
Okay.
I didn't see it.
Well, the appeal was only as to condition K, so that's really all you need to address.
Okay. Then that's my motion. Insert state in front of wetlands.
It would be helpful if you included in your motion that the language of our appeal statute says you may reverse a decision only upon a finding that the commission made an error in interpreting the applicable section of the
I think they made an error because they didn't follow what our code says.
Well, that should be in your motion.
That's my motion, that they made an error because they didn't follow the code.
Okay. Is there a second to that?
Second.
It's been moved to second that we amend condition K on the ruling that the motion was that they did not follow the code of the county. And insert state in front of wetlands. Mr. Cole.
Well, no, I can't. I don't agree that it was an error. I'm looking here at the transcript, and it says they actually looked at this. They said, I think the information is clear in the terms of need to provide some protection for this and adjacent properties in the natural environment. That being said, there may be other projects that come before us where there's 404 wetlands or isolated wetlands, and that's a different situation. And every situation needs to be looked at individually, they've stated. So they're not trying to make a blanket approval of a 404. Anyway, so I am looking at this from the perspective of this project and this project alone. I am not looking to establish a policy and conditions that would apply, automatically with other projects. This is a very unique parcel of ground, and I think the environment that we're looking at is here is a very unique situation, and I think it almost compels us to take measures. I think it does compel us to take measures to help protect it. So it goes on, and that's where they go through. They actually looked at this using state and other information and gave them the guidance that this was a very sensitive area, and they addressed it by imposing that condition. They're allowed to do it. It's not a mistake. It's not an error. The attorney said they have the ability to do it. They did it. They don't do it all the time. They did it in this case because they were compelled to because of all the information they got for it. So I think it's time that we looked at a 4-1 decision from our planning and zoning and help support those gentlemen because I think they're on the right track.
Mr. Langford, you have something?
No, I was just raising a question on the motion. This isn't really a reversal.
I don't know.
Just changing a word.
So you're just amending the condition that were imposed.
Right.
Is that one of the options? I don't think that was one of the options.
Just inserting the word state.
As to
we can't insert words.
Who said that? George, I said,
you can't do that. We cannot, in an appeal, insert a word into that. We either got to deny it, send it back, or tell them they made an error, whatever. But I don't remember changing words as an option.
Mr. Griffin?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't think you're right on that.
I'll have to go back to my...
No, he's acting like a lawyer.
I'll check my law degree. My shingle's hanging in my office.
Okay. I can tell. Much mouth you got today.
If the decision is to conclude that they made an error, then it's obvious that you've got to do something to correct the error.
Yeah. We've changed density before on these appeals. He's pulling it out of thin air here.
We have...
I'll tell you where he's pulling
it out. We have modified... approvals without totally turning down everything. In fact, this is not a situation where they said every decision or every condition the commission imposed.
Right.
This was one condition out of like 20.
Right. Oh, Lord. It's not easy coming in here every week trying to outsmart four people. Four and a half. I'm sorry, Jim.
Okay.
It's only tougher when you think you're smarter than you are.
All right, let's go.
Okay.
Oops.
Yes.
I vote yes.
Mr. Dukes.
I've always believed that if you follow the ordinance, you don't have an appeal process. And I see a lot of head shaking no, but if you don't like the ordinance, have the ordinance changed. We follow the ordinance. That's it. My vote yes.
Oh, Lord.
Lynn's trying to find out how to vote.
No, I know how I'm voting. My vote is no.
Oh, Lord. Okay. I'm sorry.
I said yes.
Thank you, Mr. Duke. Mr. Rogers?
I said no.
My vote is yes. Motion passed. Okay. Old business. Or do we want to go into, I guess we'll do, let's do old business. And then because we can still bump off funding, we'll go to Susie.
We got
to
go first.
Mr. Griffin?
I'm not sure we're finished with the...
We have one more, don't we?
The matters that we discussed in executive session.
I think there's one more.
There was one other subdivision appeal.
That's the agenda at the end. That's
at
the very agenda.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
You're right.
I think it was later on, wasn't it? Right?
Then the next item is conditional use 1772. That is also LT Associates.
Okay. Did you do better?
That involved a situation where the applicant applied for a change, a conditional use in AR1, multifamily dwelling structures, 186 and a half acres. They applied for 472 units. This was a cluster cluster subdivision application. When the motion was approved by planning and zoning, essentially what the cluster would have done would have been to have given the applicant 99 more lots than they could have gotten under a standard subdivision. That 99 lots would translate under the bonus density or density trade ordinance to approximately 1.9 something million. When multiplied out. The motion of Mr. Johnson of the Planning Commission, which was approved by the Planning Commission, was to treat it as though it were not a cluster application entitled to bonus density, and to approve, rather than 472, I think the motion stated.
I just did OT.
That it would be limited to 200. Here it is. Mr. Johnson's motion is for approval of 258 units only, which is based on the density of 2 units per acre over the 129 acres of uplands. And that number may be mentioned at more than one place in the condition, in the terms of approval. Mentioned in the condition 9A, there'd be no more than 258 multifamily units. And the applicant requested that this is it's been placed on the agenda as an item of old business for decision today. Mr. Lang, do you have anything to add to that explanation?
No.
Okay, gentlemen.
Let me find my, I got some notes here somewhere. I don't know where they are.
Well, I could speak briefly to to the merits of the application. It's utilizing the density trade ordinance, which says that if an application comes in above what they could be afforded under the normal density of 2 units per acre, and the council deems it an appropriate application, then any of those units above that base density would be required to pay into a conservation fund $20,000 per unit.
Yes, sir.
The council amended that ordinance later on to say that those funds would have to be spent in the watershed where that development is located. In this case, because of the superior design of this application, the applicant is setting aside 83% of the property in open space, which certainly in and of itself is good for the environment. And when you couple that with the conservation funds that are going to be proffered from this application, and the use of those funds for the purchase of open space easements for potential recreational areas for the public, I certainly think it's an appropriate request.
Those monies would have to be used in to purchase open space or conservation easements within the same watershed.
Correct.
Now, it is. Could somebody define watershed? What watershed are we talking about?
The area that
the Delaware River
that drains that area.
The Nanticoke River, the Poke. You know, which watershed?
The drains.
Lawrence had to answer that.
What? There's all kinds of watersheds.
What name?
Would somebody define watershed?
Define.
Do we know what we're talking about? The watershed in this instance.
Well, that's in a separate ordinance. That's in the bonus density.
Well, could somebody just tell me what watershed are you talking about?
Three or something.
You should have asked that question prior, Mr. Cole.
I did. Didn't get a clear answer then. You still don't have an answer.
Well, run down on the board.
You're making it sound like you're doing something here, so let me see what you're doing.
What's the name of it? It's Pothook Creek, which flows into Lewis Rehoboth Canal, which flows into the Delaware Bay. I would imagine that's the way the drainage goes.
And ultimately, these funds would be put in a conservation fund, and we would still have to, by a 4/5 majority vote, approve their use for a specific project. And at that point in time, Mr. Cole, I think it would be appropriate for you to ascertain the watershed at that.
Well, the Indian River watershed is everything like middle of the county, Gumbra East.
It may be a fairly big area.
Oh, it's huge.
Indian River
watershed.
There's watersheds within the watershed.
You're
wrong.
Would somebody define watershed and what we're talking about here today? That's all I'm trying to find out. What watershed? Well, he just told me about.
Not engineer, huh?
Well, I don't know that that's.
There's big watersheds, little watersheds.
That's not the issue.
Mike, come in here and tell me.
You can decide. You can make a decision.
The implication is that the money, that $2 million, will be spent in the immediate area.
Right.
That's the implication.
Mm-hmm.
Is Gumbra the immediate area?
The statute says within the watershed.
Right. That's what I'm asking. What do you mean by watershed?
Well, I'm sure that watershed is particularly defined by name, but it would be the watershed that...
Jim, there's like the Whites Creek watershed, then you can go next level is like the, the Broadkill watershed, then there's the Delaware River Bay, there's the Chesapeake Bay watershed, there's the Indian River Bay. They get huge when you get those kind of watersheds.
You're not making a decision to spend money. We haven't made a decision whether to grant it or not.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Griffin.
I understand. Okay.
Oh, the president wants to...
If you decide to not approve this application, it's a moot question. If you do approve the application, then that issue would come up when and if you make a decision to purchase.
But the council's made an implication that it's going to have an immediate impact positively this area.
I'm not sure council has made that implication.
Well, I just heard that implication.
Well, it takes 4/5 to spend it, Mr. Cole.
I see 4/5 votes going on here today, and I don't like a lot of them. So I think there's no comfort, Dale. There's not a lot of comfort in 4/5.
Well, any member of council can make a motion.
I understand.
The president just said, hold on a second. He'll be right back with your answer.
He's coming back with an answer. We'll see.
That's what he said.
Any more tributes?
Any more tributes?
Clark, do you know what watershed we're talking about?
Nope. No. Could be any number of them.
Inland
Bay or Delaware Bay. I'm not sure where Brake Line is. I'm not sure where Line is. I don't have a map of that.
Inland Bay, that's Rehoboth Bay, Indian River Bay, and Aswan, right?
Includes the canal, too.
That's everything. That's all east side of the canal, county.
Is there any land use program? I think no. Dave's gone down. No?
There's a chart that references the inland bays, Atlantic Ocean drainage. It includes the Lewis Rehoboth Canal, Delaware, the Rehoboth Bay, the Indian River, Orange Branch, Indian River Bay, Bunnings Branch, Assawaman, and Little Assawaman Bay.
Basically, there's two main drainage areas. It's the inland bays, which drains east, and then there's Nanticoke River that drains west. Isn't that right? Any of you planner, just shake your head. You don't have to say anything. Just either I'm right or wrong.
It's like the Inland Bay watershed has about 6 small watersheds within it.
I just read
it. So I'm just trying to find, what watershed are we talking about? When a statement is made that it's going to, folks, it's density for dollars here, but those dollars go towards conservation, and we're going to have some open space, but where is it? I want to know if the people in Lewis are going to benefit from this open space, or do they have to ride down to maybe Selbyville?
I think it'd be Greenwood.
Greenwood. That might be in Greenwood. Just.
He's going to get an answer what a watershed is. What John Cole wants to say. He's here till dark, he said.
I don't have a basketball. Folks, I don't have a basketball game till 6 o'clock tonight. And it's raining. What else are we going to do?
You're probably not going to make it.
Oh, you're right. I found it. I didn't go for it. Let's see. 25.
See, during our land use plan, we had somebody make testimony about watersheds, and he talked about all different types of watersheds, but he wasn't talking about big, huge watersheds. He was talking about smaller watersheds.
Mr. Baker's gone upstairs. If we want to keep today, do you have any other issues to talk about, George, or are you just going to keep on this one?
Really has nothing to do with the ordinance.
No, it doesn't.
Or its application.
Okay.
They made a reference, Dale, that they're cutting the units, and then you're saying because they've cut the units, they're not going to benefit from this density trade part of the ordinance. So there's $2 million that would go to conservation.
Right.
And then Mr. Phillips said it would be in that watershed.
Correct.
Okay.
I'm just saying, what watershed?
Or the other?
It's got to be clear that
it doesn't have to be clear.
Well, in your mind, you're right. I agree with you.
Right.
I mean, I agree that that's how you think, but I'm just saying that's not the proper approach in a logical approach, but that's your approach.
Okay. Have you got anything else other than
maybe it's in the Sharptown watershed.
No. Mr. Dukes, have you got anything?
I don't know why I'm not sure why they're cutting back 258 units. They're not allowing any bonus for the clustering. I mean, they're asking for a cluster here, but they're cutting it back to two-acre subdivision, as I understand it.
Not even that.
No, not even, probably not even that. You know, and I think our land use plan definitely says near a town center is where we should increase density. And we're going right the opposite of what our land use plan says.
Dale, the reason they've cut it, Dale, also is the traffic impact study. The traffic in that area is was very bad. We had all these digital things and different people showing us
did
traffic.
Did you read Bob Worth's traffic impact study?
Wait, who did he work for?
Did you read Bob Worth's traffic impact study?
Who did he work for? Who paid him?
I didn't pay him.
The applicant paid him, didn't he, Dale?
Okay.
Then there was a guy in opposition that came up and had a similar, another engineer, a traffic expert.
Talking about the shopping center, not the...
A traffic expert came up.
It was shopping center.
No, there was the comments were off for all of it. Anyway.
Well...
Planning and Zoning Commission cited traffic impact study comments. So there was concern about traffic.
Then Ted Bishop wrote a letter to the paper... Which
Ted Bishop writing a letter?
Ted Bishop, the assistant director of planning with State Highway Department, that testimony that was given at this hearing by opposition was not correct.
So a letter to the editor now is what we're hanging our hats on.
Somebody asked to make a comment.
Well, I got to get.
I suggest that whatever decision you make, it needs to be based on evidence that came in at the hearing.
Right.
Thank you.
If you wanted to know the reasons behind Mr. Johnson's motion, they're stated there. He basically talked about cumulative impact.
Mm-hmm.
2 units per acre is based on the uplands acre.
Versus 2.5.
And where he pulled that out of.
What is the impact when you've got 82% open space, they're only using 36 out of 186 acres, they're only using 4% of the woodland, you know, Where's the impact? Tell me.
Well, his statement about impact says, given cumulative impact of current and future developments in this area. So he was tying everything that happened along Gill's Neck Road into his reasoning on this reason number two, Cadbury, Hawk's Nest or Hawk's Eye, whatever that is. He mentioned all those on Gill's Neck Road out to Freeman Highway.
And is that in our code? I mean, does it say where?
But the TIS study also, Mr. Griffin, I'm just saying what I've been reading over the weekend.
That's not one of the factors in the code.
No, it's not. I mean, they're pulling stuff out the same place Mr. Cole's been pulling
When you look at the development in the area, that's what we do. That's our business. That's our job here. We're supposed to look at
the big picture. Is to look at the code.
Well, they did. They're allowed to do this. They did nothing wrong here.
They are referencing things as reasons that aren't part of our code.
As we just got done stating, they're permitted to do it. They give sufficient reasons. What you're saying is their reasons aren't good enough. They've given good reasons, but boy, they don't meet your high standards.
Bob Worth said...
Instead of more open space... Here, Dale. You talked about open space a minute ago. Here. Instead of more open space, an active passive recreation area should be preserved in this area rather than using the increased density here to acquire open space somewhere else. So they thought it was more important because of the environmental sensitivity of this area and the quality of the environmental type of the wetlands and the uplands and all the other stuff. They said the open space should be here, not somewhere else.
Well, they're already preserving
83%. They got 150 acres. Is going to be open space.
They said that more
highest,
density, more density is less open space.
Percentage open space of any application we've
Tell
seen
me when
in a long
you,
time.
When's the last subdivision come in with 82% open space?
Goodness gracious.
It depends on how they calculated it, Dale. We had no open space ordinance. They have included everything in between buildings, parking lots, and everything. Dale, right.
The TIS said that
right.
Nothing gets done to Kings Highway by 2014, no more projects are being built. The road will be impassable. The developer, if this is approved, 2 years ago, the estimate was $6 million. He's going to do off-site improvements, and it's more than that since the last 2 years when this estimate was given. So, you know, the people that are complaining about traffic ought to thank the developer for paying for it. Okay, then do nothing for the next 8 years, and you won't be able to get up and down the road. Because, you know, how much is Delta going to spend out there? They're not going to do anything.
I would remind you that This is not a public hearing. The record's closed.
Right.
Well, it's a fair point, though. I mean, the developer is providing substantial amounts of money for infrastructure. Everybody's crying about infrastructure before development. He lays it in their lap, and there's still opposition. I think we have to follow the code. I think when we can get these kinds of dollars out of the developer, when we can get 83% open space, when 96 to 98% of the existing trees are going to remain in place, it's a good development. Plus, $2 million to boot to spend on additional open space off-site.
I mean, well, planning and zoning, gentlemen, in their reasoning why they changed the number, they've again given good reasons why they did it. They go through what DLDOT stated. They talk about the traffic impact study, about what the report confirms, that it's not sufficient to correct all the traffic problems and the deficiencies, especially with the impacts associated with this plan. They go on and on. So they've given reasons. So what you're going to have to do is say, okay, they didn't make an error, Dale. They've given reasons. They have the ability to do it. You don't like their reasons. Or they didn't go far enough, and then you better read the reasons because they're very good reasons. I don't know what else they could add. But page 7 and 8. Go through that.
Yeah.
I'm sure you have.
Okay.
But you said they made an error, and they didn't make an error. They made an error. They made good reasons. Our attorney said they can do this. As long as they have good reasons. This is not an error. You don't like their reasoning is what you should be saying.
Okay.
Because I don't think it's fair to Planning and Zoning Commission and the hard work they do down there to be keep saying every time an appeal comes in, they've made an error. They've made an error.
This
they
is
have
not an appeal.
Okay. Well, an appeal.
Why didn't they
but
just
sorry.
Turn it down then? Because it's a cluster.
No. It'd be.
Well, the applicant under current zoning would be entitled as a matter of right to what they gave him, so they really couldn't turn it down because he would have been using factors non-code, potentially using non-code factors as a denial. In this case, the commission recommended approval, but at the same density as if it were standard subdivision.
That the difference is why they're doing this, Dale. They want multifamily. They're only permitted by right of ordinance, single family.
Right,
and they are yes.
And right. Through this process, they asked for multifamily and additional units over and above what is permitted and what they're by right.
It is permitted by the density trade ordinance, and the multifamily is in there to allow for a higher percentage of open space, and they've met both those criteria. They followed the code. They provided exceptional development based on increasing open space because of the multifamily component of the housing. And really, it's a no-brainer if you look at it.
Well, four of them thought it was a different opinion. I guess they
got anything else,
Stuart? No, that's it. It's true. I mean, it's all right in front of you.
Got anything else?
I mean, are we going to leave the...
He's got the answer for your watershed.
Are we going to leave it at 250?
Oh, let's work our way down, then we work our way back up again.
There's no definition of watershed, guys.
Yep.
Is there... are we going to leave it at 250?
You know, the definition is the clarification of watershed you're talking about.
Make your motion.
It could be the Atlantic Ocean watershed.
Who knows? Mr. Baker, do you have anything?
Just make a motion. Just make a motion.
All we need is somebody to make a motion to either affirm the... I mean, not to...
amend or boo, right?
Well, I mean, they've recommended that it be approved at a number of units of 258. So
right.
That's a recommendation. Somebody needs to.
So maybe the first thing to do would be to make a motion for the density, as we often do.
If you're going to change.
What is the applied?
472.
472.
472 includes the 99.
470. I move that we grant the applicant 472 units based on the density trade ordinance formulas, which would allow for the county to receive the fees that are proffered for conservation usage.
So that would be amending condition 9A on page 8.
And also the conditions on page 7.
That is conditions.
Well, number one,
reasons,
the finding.
Reasons.
Okay, you had So are you saying that wherever the number 258 appears in the findings and conditions, that that number be revised to the 472? Is that the motion?
Well, it's on page 7, two places, then it's on page 8.
Well, page 7 is the reasons or findings of the commission, and page 8, starting at 9A, are the conditions. Three references to 258.
Right. So you're saying, what are you saying, Vance? 353 plus 99 bonus density?
Yeah, the 472 that they've applied for.
Is that a motion?
That is a motion.
Second.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved to second that we changed the number from 258 to 472. Mr. Cole.
We're changing the number?
Yes.
Is that right? That's all we're doing right now?
Yeah, that's all we're doing right now, yeah.
No, I think the number the planning and zoning has recommended is appropriate.
Okay. Mr. Phillips?
The number that they applied for was based on our code passed by the council. It provides the mechanism for which we can raise conservation funds without spending taxpayers' dollars. I vote yes.
Mr. Dukes?
My vote is yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Vote is no.
I think the density, if you work out to 2.53, my vote is yes. Okay. Next one.
Also in K back here, are you going to insert the word state in there also?
No. Where are we talking about?
On page 9. Page 9, first sentence.
Yeah, that should be, yep.
As before.
If that's an issue that...
I make that motion. We insert the word state in K between all and wetlands.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, so we move to second that we insert state on number K. We insert state in front of all, in between all and wetlands on condition K. Mr. Cole.
Well, it's funny there. I don't believe there are any state wetlands on there. I think it's all federal wetlands.
Okay.
On this parcel, I don't have it in front of me, so I'm not 100% sure on that, but that is my recollection. So
okay.
I believe the Planning and Zoning Commission, in their reasoning on why they wanted to lower the density on these things because of the environmental characteristics of this area are very unique, and so they felt that protecting wetlands is in their scope of duties, and they are permitted to do that if they have good reasons. I think they had good reasons. I think they've cited them in their text. This is not an error again. This is them following an appropriate land use guidelines that we've given them. So I think we ought to leave it at all.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Phil.
Yes.
Mr. Rogers.
Yes.
Mr. Rogers.
No.
Yes. Okay. Any other questions?
Nope.
Read the title, please.
An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for multifamily dwelling structures, 472 units, to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 186.56 acres, more or less.
Motion, Dylan.
I'll make that motion. We approve CU 1772 with the amended conditions we've been discussing for quite some time.
Second.
Move to second that we approve conditional use 1772 with the amended conditions. Mr. Cole.
I'll vote no because dollars for density ordinance. As we just noticed here as we watched this whole proceedings here in the conversation, it was all about county receiving some money, and that's going to protect something or preserve something somewhere else in some watershed. It's a very broad term. So I believe that I opposed the density trade ordinance when it was developed. I knew this would happen. It's a bad ordinance. This is where planning and zoning determined that this wasn't an appropriate site for it, that the open space and the wetland should be protected. And the additional land that they've talked about and bragged about open space should be here on site, not somewhere else. So I, I'll vote no. I think the Planning and Zoning Commission, again, was right on. I think they had a good ordinance. I think they covered all their concerns of traffic, the environment, sewer impacts, the cumulative effect of the development in the area, the necessary upgrades, the lack of money at the state level to fix some of these problems, and that the developers, the improvements, were not going to be sufficient to correct the current problem. So we'll have some Band-Aids on the traffic, and we'll get additional density from this. So I say no.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Cole. Mm-hmm. Mr. Phillips?
As noted by Mr. Jones, the ultimate density on this property is 2.53. In a development district, that is extremely low. The fact that the developer has created a model that preserves 83% open space, that also preserves 96% of the existing trees, and puts nearly $2 million into the county out of the developer's pocket for the preservation of open space, makes it a superior project and one that I'm proud to vote yes for.
Ladies and gentlemen, we don't ask you for your comments, please, okay? I'm not being trying to be rude, but we're, you know, thank you very much. Mr. Dukes?
1992, the city of Lewis mentioned this property, this land, in their comp plan about knowing that it was going to be developed. And they were talking about annexing into the town, and we now have a subdivision coming in that has 82% open space, approximately 150 acres that will remain open space, low density of 2.53. My vote is yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Based on a recommendation of Planning and Zoning, a vote no.
I looked at the project, and like I said, we've spent many hours on it, and if you look at the density,
yes.
If they put a normal subdivision there at two units to the acre, they could fill the whole thing up. My vote is yes. Motion approved. Thank you. Okay. Next case, please.
On the agenda, that would be conditional use 1741.
Well, I think you have to read the letter. I think we got a letter.
It's CZ 1630, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mr. Griffin, Mr. President, I'd like to make a motion to accept the applicant's request to withdraw, subject to a right to refile at a modified development plan with expedited review. That's on CZ 1630.
Dale,
yes,
can
sir.
I ask a question? What is our policy on withdrawing?
What's our policy?
What's our policy, David? I'll ask David. David, what's the policy we had developed on when the applicants withdraw? Lawrence, I remember.
Let's ask Lawrence.
If an applicant were to withdraw 3 days prior to a public hearing, it would be considered without action by council. If it's withdrawn at a later date, it has to be voted on by council.
Thank
so
you.
So this, where would this one fall in?
It has to be voted on by council.
It has to be voted on.
If I get a second on my except motion, we'll soon find out.
Okay, the withdrawal, okay.
Are you with us, George?
I guess. Okay.
Withdrawal with expedited review.
Second.
Why are we expediting the review? Is there a reason?
That's a motion, Mr. Cole.
But do you have a reason? I'm just asking. Do you have a reason why we should expedite a review?
Yes, they have. They want to downsize it.
A lot of people would do that. They see the opposition. It's no. But why are we expediting? There's so much expedited.
That's my motion, Mr. Cole. You can either vote yes or no.
Okay. It's been seconded. Any other question, Mr. Cole?
I'll vote no. There's no reason to expedite. I accept the withdrawing. I can understand why they did that, but to expedite it, it doesn't make sense. We've expedited too much, and unless there is an emergency type of reason or something like that, other than that they just want to come in with a better one, everybody wants to do that. So it's a bad precedent.
Okay.
But
next.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
No.
Yes. Motion passed.
Who made the second? I missed that. I'm sorry.
I did.
Mr. Phillips did.
Phillips. Thank you.
Next case.
Boy, I'm going to miss Lynn Rogers.
Okay. Jim, next case.
It's the first time I've ever told him. I feel bad. I've waited so long. The marriage gone bad.
Next matter on the agenda under old business is David G. Wheatstein's son, conditional use 1741.
Give everybody a chance to leave once they leave.
Mike, do you want to bring people up to date on that one, or do you want me to try to do that?
Mr. Griffin, I will not be participating in the vote. Mr. Jones.
Yes.
Give a couple of minutes to leave. They want to leave.
All right. If anybody wants to leave, go ahead and leave. We'll just take a few seconds and then give them a little breathing room. Thank you.
I'm not saying nothing. I'm out of it.
Going out in style, Finley.
I'm out of it.